they would slip off now. I am a lover of words. I've said that many times, and I love popular terminology because it is often indicative of what's going on in the hearts and minds of people. One of the hot words of today, I know you know it, is viral. And when something goes viral, everybody has to look, click, listen, see, touch, go. It's viral. You say, well, I'm not in that crowd. Don't get me. When you get the word that it's viral, you're hunting for it. You will hunt it down. You will chase after so you can click, listen, watch, touch. And it's hot. And I have to be part of it. What if I told you about something that wasn't viral? You know the jargon of today, do you not? Second place is only the first place of losers. What if I told you about something that's maybe 70th place? Would you even listen? It's not popular. People are not rushing to click it, touch it, hear it, smell it. And there's 69 other things in front of it. It's way down the list. What if I told you about something that was way down the list? I looked at our text today and I began to think, how do you decide what's really important? There is so much that comes at us in such a stream. How do you decide what's really important? Who do you listen to? Is it the crowd? Is it the team? Is it the media? Who is it that captures you and draws you? Who do you listen to when you try to decide what's important? All you have to do today is step onto a college campus or a high school campus or enter the marvelous marketplace and you realize that the things that we talk about are a joke. Nobody listens. This stuff is just a crutch. It's 70 in the list, maybe more. How do you decide what's important? You know, it wasn't much different in Jesus' day than it is today. I think often when we open the Word of God, we think somehow it was radically different. It's not. Let me remind you of Luke chapter 7, verse 31, when the Son of Man has come, and you say, you who see and were there and listened and watched and heard, and you say, he's a gluttonous man and a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. We don't think it. This is what happened. Who really pays attention to this Jesus? He's not viral. Does what he has, what he says, really make a difference? He's not popular. Let's take our scripture. I invite you to begin making your way to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, as we begin to turn to this text, returns us to Jesus' teaching. And he tells a story. It's called a parable. It may be new to you. It might be profitable for us to just stop just a second and say, what's a parable? If you like words, the original word is a compound word. Para, meaning to cast, and And this one, this balo, it means alongside. When you put it together, parable is something cast alongside something else. It's something put beside something else so that you can kind of connect them and begin to learn. Jesus is a master with parables. We're going to approach the parable as we do all parables in Scripture, and that is this is a story, a parable, that's a true-to-life event. That does not mean it actually happened, but it's true to life. It's out of life. It's a life story. It's clearly understandable by this culture that heard him. It makes a singular point, occasionally a minor point. It's not an allegory. This is not filled with hidden innuendos that you will ponder your navel and contemplate the depths thereof for the rest of your life. It is so simple and so straightforward, these parables. The unfortunate thing is many come to parables and find great symbolism in them that's not there. An illustration about a marriage conference I'm aware of, where the leader of the marriage conference actually turned to this parable, which has soils in it. He said, these four soils are four kinds of marriages. And the conference went from there. I won't critique past that point. We look at this and begin to understand that this is not about marriages. This parable is not about marriages. This is a true-to-life story that Jesus teaches that has some hidden things that I will point out, because I am persuaded parables are a gift of grace. Let me explain what I mean. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening, you're learning from these parables. If you're one who is not listening, who's just hanging around, they kind of go by your ear and you go, what'd he say? But in a sense, it's grace, because it does not bring further condemnation upon you for rejecting the Word of God. These are potent lessons. What's the context of our parable that we open up this morning? Well, Luke has been showing us how the opposition to Jesus just keeps mounting. There's, at every turn, unfolding challenges. It will grow even greater in the days ahead. There are questions that are arising about Jesus. Have you ever had a question about Jesus? Do you remember John the Baptist that we studied? He had a question about Jesus. John the Baptist said, are you the one, or do we need to look somewhere else? That's a question about Jesus. His ministry is not turning out at all like people thought it would be, including his followers. We think they just blindly know. They're going, I'm not really sure about this guy. And stuff doesn't add up. So we open this text and begin to look at this parable. You got your Bible? You made your way to Luke 8:4 yet? Look with me. There are lots who listen. There will be only a few who hear. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. A large crowd is coming together. Those from various cities are journeying to him. So is everyone coming here going to receive what Jesus has to say? Would I be so bold to ask that all of you are truly listening to what Jesus has to say today? I'm slow, but I'm not real slow. You're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about work. You got drugged here by your wife or your husband or your parent or your kid. Are you going to hear what Jesus has to say? Are you just in the crowd and you showed up because, well, there's not a game in town today. I'm OD'd on Olympics already. I'm in a 12-step program to come out from that. So I'll just go to church and just hang out there. You're going to receive what he has. I looked at this text. You're going to really hear. There's a crowd here. To those who are gathered, look at the latter part of verse 4. He spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow seed. So what do you think the parable's about? Four kinds of marriage. Right, I knew you were going to say that. You know, this is not hard stuff to understand. You do get that, don't you? The sower went out to sow his seed. In this culture, sowing is done by hand. The sower would walk the field, and he would broadcast openly seed. If there was plowing done, it would often come after the seed was broadcast, and it would be in the fall in preparation for what are called the early rains that come in the fall, and the later rains, or latter rains, depending on how you pronounce it, come in the spring. This is the Jewish calendar. So this is a common practice. It says here that the sower went out to sow his seeds. I walked through a wheat field in Israel that just glows in my mind, that was just like this. Path through a field, hard as nails. Thorns grow up beside it. Out in the field, rocks. You know, as I've said before, we'll say again, the original rock concert was Israel, because they got all the rocks of the world. They're everywhere. Even the soil that's there is thin. This is the picture that we have in this situation. This sower hung around him a bag of seed, walks out and walks back across this field, and he throws his seed, and Luke continues as Jesus unfolds his parable. Look back at your Bible, the latter part of verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And other seed fell on good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Let me suggest, contrary to many who come to this parable, this parable is not about being soil inspectors. This parable is about other things. It's not Christian versus non-Christian. It's not about believer versus unbeliever. It's about a sower who went out to sow, and this is a lesson for sowers. You got the parable? It unfolds. It's telling us that among the variety of people, there are varieties of responses. Look back at your Bible, latter part of verse 8. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Pay attention. Listen. Reflect. Respond. Think about what the Savior is saying. Well, the disciples, you know, they're good guys. And they know that this is not a conference on agriculture and rocks for fun and profit. So they figured out there's more to this than that. So they've got some questions. Look at verse 9. His disciples began questioning about what the parable meant. He said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables." So that, and that little word is our purpose, which unfolds here. And Jesus turns and quotes from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, which, contrary to many's thinking, is a passage about judgment. Potent text in Isaiah's day. Posted text to those who have hardness of heart, dullness of ears, who are consumed by the things around them. Jesus' rejection has consequences, as Jesus will quote. To those who don't think, to those who are consumed by all the other stuff of life, Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, verse 9, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Potent words. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we should remember from our context just the verse before, 10. This is about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Our parable is going to tell us something about its unfolding, its message of the coming kingdom, coming reign of Jesus, and something about our lives going down this path. Verse 12. Those beside the road are those who heard, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. Just remember, as we read this parable, it is not about soil. This parable is about seed and the intense opposition that it faces when it is broadcast openly. When you turn and you begin to ask soil questions of this parable, you're going to force it to give you answers it was never designed to provide. And you will get answers that Scripture does not give. Clearly, there is a spiritual battle when the message of Jesus is broadcast, put forth, cast out. Look at verse 13. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root, and they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. The message of Jesus, broadcast openly, confronts the shallowness of mankind who do not listen and hear. Verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard. They go their way. They're choked by worries, riches, pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to maturity. This message of Jesus, cast broadly, confronts those whose priority is with other things. Not interested in Jesus now. More interested in the world and the things it has to offer me. Back at your Bible, verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, bear fruit with perseverance. This message of Jesus comes to some who receive it, who hold it, who bear fruit, who have hope and this steadfast endurance. Bottom line for sowers, the message of Jesus faces many obstacles, great obstacles, but it's not fruitless. What's the challenge as sowers? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. There's all kinds of opposition out there. Sow the seed. Why? Because there's a great harvest when you sow the seed. This parable not only answers the question of why there is so much opposition, why there is so much shallowness, why there is so much reluctance every time God's word is open. It's a tremendous challenge and a tremendous encouragement to disciples to sow the seed. Let me say again, we are not soil inspectors. We are seed sowers. Sow the seed. This is the call. And we need to also observe as we read this parable, Jesus' message is not casual conversation. It's not something to walk by. It's going to expose your heart before God. It's going to expose God's grace to you. This is a powerful message. If he is who he says he is, if what he's about, his work, is about a kingdom, about a new life that we receive by grace through faith, then there's no neutral ground with the message of Jesus. Although he is not popular and there is great opposition, don't leave him at 70. He has priority in what he says. Amazing. Even if the world chases this emptiness, this is exactly the point that he makes now with a very common, very penetrating, everyday illustration. You got your Bible? Look here at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand. For those who come in may see the light. Not only can others see the light, the others are seen in the light. This reality of God's message. Verse 17. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor any secret that will not be known and come to light. Jesus' point is his teaching is like light in darkness. It penetrates. It exposes. It not only shows what God is doing, it shows our own life. And it shows places we need to not step. Listen to Jesus, verse 18. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, that's the one who's received his message, to him more shall be given. Greater blessing comes. He who does not have, who has not received this message, even what he thinks he has shall be taken from him. The sowing of this seed of the message of Jesus is confronted by this world. Not only does it bring a great harvest, this is part of the parable, this message is filled with authority, it is filled with truth, it is penetrating into life, it's the path and direction to life and blessing. It penetrates like light into darkness and opens life. Take care how you listen. So what's Jesus taught us as we've listened here for a while? Well, even though there's opposition, have you ever shared your faith? I shouldn't ask that in church, should I? Because now you're going to want to sign up for some class. Let me encourage you, do not sign up for a class. Get to know Jesus. Let me illustrate that. This year, we're celebrating our 50th year together, my wife and I. I did not need to take a class to tell you about her. I have a relationship with her. I've spent time with her. She's impacted my life. My life has been changed from knowing her. I don't need a class to tell you about my wife. You don't need a class to tell someone about Jesus if you have a relationship with him. If your life has been changed because you know Jesus, you are ready to share Jesus. Sow the seed. When you sow the seed, have you ever run into opposition? If you've sown the seed, you have. This is the parable. Have you ever run into spiritual lethargy when you sowed the seed? Just dullness? Ah, that's all right for you. I know some people believe that stuff. That's what my dad told me. But I don't. Just lethargy. Have you sown the seed and found battles? Absolutely. This is this parable. This parable says there is great opposition when you sow the seed, but there's also a great harvest. Point, sow the seed. This is a parable about sowers. Those who hear, those who receive this is like light in the darkness. You ever been in a dark place in your life? I'm talking dark, not Franklin, dark. Light is really something. It penetrates. This is Jesus' point. Think about what I've said. Listen to my message. Don't miss the point that I'm making to you. And don't miss the blessing that I have for you. And it unfolds. Well, what distinguishes a casual listener from someone who's really a hearer? That's kind of hard, isn't it? Do you know any casual listeners? How are they different from you? Shouldn't have asked that question. Well, I look at this text. How do you distinguish the casual listener in the crowd, some of which may be here this morning? It might be you, just listening. From one who really hears Jesus, and if you hear Jesus, does it make any difference in your life? Really? Really? Some of the pollsters like George Barna say, unbelievable numbers profess faith in Jesus Christ, and it makes an unbelievably minimal impact in our culture. That hurts. I look at this text in the press of this crowd. Do you know Luke is going to answer that question? Look back at your Bible, verse 19. Theophilus needs to know this, to whom Luke is writing. We need to know this. Got your Bible? Verse 19. His mother and his brothers came to him. They're unable to get to him because of the crowd. Now, he doesn't give us a lot of the setting, but the point is simple. Verse 20. It was reported to Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. He answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear. Now, you need some grammar this morning. That's a present active participle. That says they are hearing. Not they just heard once and kind of went on down the road and cruising. They are hearing, present, now, active participle. It's happening. They are hearing what I have to say. And do. You like another present active participle? They're doing it. Not did it. Not did it one time. They're doing it. Present. Active. My brother, my mother, are those who are hearing and are doing it. Whoa. Now be careful as you read this, because this is not a rejection of his family. Not rejecting his family. He's just affirming the centrality of his message and his mission and the blessing that comes from hearing Jesus. Clearly. Discipleship is not about listening. It's not about listening to Jesus. It's not some intellectual idea that I pondered and passed. It's not some drop-by, drop-in, get-a-nod kind of thing that I touch. It's a lifestyle. Totally different lifestyle. We don't need probably to spend any moments reading this to figure out how Jesus' half-brother, James, did you know he was outside in the crowd? Think about that for a minute. And he later writes in his letter about being a doer of the word. Wondered where he picked that up from Jesus. This is potent. So what's it mean to hear? And what does it mean to do? Well, I look at the Word of God and ask of my own life, Has it exposed to me how I've talked to another person unkind? And I was truly unkind? And have I done unto them what I'd like them to do unto me and ask for forgiveness? Have you spoken to someone unkind lately? And not done what you would want them to do unto you and ask for forgiveness? Has that happened? Oh, yeah, I know the Bible says, do it! Do you understand the difference between a listener and a hearer who does? This is Jesus' point. Has this Word of God illuminated your life and opened your thinking as you look and read about how you are saying things that are untrue, overstated, exaggerated? You cause people to not have your truth. Have you told them you're sorry? It's time to do it. This is being a hearer of Jesus. Has this Word of God spoken to your life? Because it says you need to love your enemies. You need to pray for those who persecute you. You need to do good to those who hate you. This is what this text says. But you know how you are, and you've got that burr in your, we'll just say blanket. And you know the grudge. And you know the bitterness. And you know those words that just have a razor edge to them that you just love to slice. Is it time to deal with that? Are you just a listener of God's Word? Or do you hear and do God's Word? And I begin to say, oh God, I am so, so convicted by your Word. But thank you for your grace that forgives me. And your truth that teaches me how I can live in a new way. I need to talk to so-and-so today. You a listener? What's it mean to be a hearer and a doer? Do you ever walk by a brother or sister in need and not personally, tangibly, practically, physically help them out? You just walk on by. Maybe it's time to not just be a listener of this Word. Has this Word taught you to trust Jesus and live for Jesus? Yeah, I heard that somewhere. Paul says we should walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, please Him in all respects. But I just continue to worry and fuss and mess with all this other stuff instead of putting Him first in my life. Do you understand the difference between being a listener and a hearer and doer? There is a distinct difference in the Word of God. One is the mark of a disciple. The other is just a casual listener. And we need to be careful when we read this text, or texts like this. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus will say in the upper room, he has his disciples with him, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You need to be careful with that statement, because Jesus in that upper room is not speaking to them about what makes friendship. What makes a friendship is by grace, through faith, putting your confidence in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus. The Bible says you become His friend. You become part of God's family. Jesus is talking about what characterizes our life as believers and what shows up in our life as we walk with Him. And He says, how close is it? It's like family. You're like me, and I'm like you when this begins to unfold in your life. Now, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, as we look at our text. the world in Jesus' day was not any more pluralistic or less pluralistic, any more secular or less secular than our world today. But Jesus says, when you step out, you will face opposition. Don't let that stop you. Stand firm in who you are and what you believe. Sow the seed. Walk with me. Have great blessing for you. It's literally like light into the life of those to whom you speak. And Luke recalls for us this truth and lays it before us. Why? Because Jesus is calling disciples in this text. Disciples who've come face to face with who he is. Disciples who are not to be discouraged because of the opposition, because of the preoccupation of those around him, because of the rejection. They sow the seed. We don't travel through life, let me say again, as soil inspectors. Far too many believers are soil inspectors. They're always checking someone's soil. Don't be a soil inspector. Be a seed sower. God brings a harvest when you sow his seed. It's that simple. Why? Because we believe Jesus is the Messiah. This is a vital message. In fact, it is a message that cuts in two ways. There is great blessing and great walk with Jesus in one way. And there is a difficulty of separation from the things of God when you just casually walk past this. Look back at your Bible. There, don't want to miss what it says there at the latter part of verse 8. So chapter 8 and verse 21. I want us to realize that being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word brings an intimacy with Jesus that is like no other path in life. In fact, Jesus said in this passage, you're like family to me. You're like me. My life is like your life. We are connected. The people to whom you're connected with, you are most conversant with. Is that not true? The people you are connected with, you are closest to and fullest with them. Is that not true? Stop here just a moment. Jesus has been teaching us. I'm just the spokesman locally. Am I a listener? Have I been just listening all these days? Or am I a doer? Because I have heard God's word and it has changed my life. As Keith said, and as Don reminded us, every one of us live in charades. I could join Keith with stories that a wife of 50 years does not know, that I am deeply grimaced over, but God has graced me and forgiven me. When we live in this world, oh, what the Lord sees is so amazing in my life. But I ask, as you probably do, what could I ever do that would honor Jesus who died for me? Because I know what's inside me. You don't have any idea what's inside me. How could I ever do anything that would honor this Jesus? Let me, from this text, free us some degree from a chaos of comparing our lives to others, from the temptation that masses, packing pews, size is somehow significant, from putting money in offerings to signing up for another one of these seven-step wonders that's going to change all of your life and family. Let me take you to this text Jesus says, your obedience to me is like being part of my family. I'm close to you, and you're close to me. In fact, that my new life in you enables you to walk in an incarnational style representing me. Closer than anyone else. Sower of seed. Literally a light in places that are dark. Walk with me. I have great blessing for you. Great hope for you. I've got a great future for you. Be a hearer of the word and a doer. It's a closeness to Jesus that is like no other. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a penetrating lesson from our Savior. But a very personal lesson from our Savior. That our life yielded to Him is the way of blessing. Not casually, flippantly, but purposefully. May we be hearers of the word and doers of that very word. May your Spirit give us that push, that nudge, that encouragement today of how you want to use us. And may we today maybe mend a relationship, correct a mistake, turn from a habit, and yield to you like we've not done before. We believe, Father, that you in your great and amazing grace in Jesus have transformed us, changed us, so that we can be very much in the family of our Savior. Thank you for that. Encourage our hearts with it. Lift our spirits with it as we walk out of here, hearers and doers of the things of Jesus. We ask that in His name. Amen.